Twitter also, believe it or not, focuses and clarifies. Today, if you're a teacher today, you clearly are in a world, a sea of very complex information. Not only do you have to teach your class, you have whole rafts of policies that are coming out at the national level. You'll have the policies of your school. There's so much out there that you couldn't possibly contribute to it. I chatted to someone yesterday who said they'd been around the BET show and they got halfway round and there was too much going on and they came out. They literally were cognitively finished because it was... And in a way, the BET show is a physical embodiment, I think, of kind of where teachers operate professionally. They're not unique amongst... The other professionals may well be the same, although teachers do have this... they do have a layer of political people interfering in their work. And the more that politicians say they're going to leave teachers to get on with teaching, the more they actually don't do that. So if a politician ever says, I trust teachers, I'm going to get on with letting them do what they're best at, you know that that person is probably going to get on the classroom and they're going to micromanage every last thing that's there. So the thing that Twitter does really well is it focuses and clarifies. It kind of, the good stuff floats to the top and the conversations that are happening happen, and then a busy professional following the right kind of people can see the kind of things that are being discussed. And that's how I often use it. I'll go to Twitter, I'll go to a list. So I follow about 8,000 people, but I never look at my entire timeline because there's too much in there. I've got lists of various people built in. I've got a top 100 list that's only got 60 people in. I keep adding people in, but they've got to be really... I say good, not good, but they've got to really... That's a list that I look at because I want to see what's happening. So if something's happening that's interesting, I know that it'll be in that list. And, of course, a lot of teachers on Twitter are actually... They're refining those skills. They're using Twitter in a very, very sophisticated way because it actually isn't that hard. I mean, if I can do it, anybody else can, because I've only just spent, you know, too long on it. Twitter is definitely democratic, then. That's one of my central points. It's a democratic form of engagement, and that's why it is so powerful. It's almost a counterbalance against the kinds of control over what teachers do in the classroom, and maybe attempts to limit their freedom by telling them they need to teach reading in a certain way. They can teach it any way they want, as long as it's synthetic phonics, as long as it uses these patterns. You get that political pressure. Social media is almost a counterbalance to that. It gives teachers the freedom to explore what's actually happening. And I think that's one of the reasons why teachers are flocking to Twitter in huge amounts. There was a hard call a little while back of teachers who were on Twitter who are still there, but many more are joining. Not every teacher who uses Twitter, it's a success. They might use it for a little bit and then abandon their account because Twitter isn't for everybody, but many of them are actually joining and making a real, you know, it's making a real difference. And it's the fact that it's democratic and you can't control it. Twitter cannot be controlled. The conversation is happening whether you like it or not, which is, again, both the very exciting thing about it is power. It's also a scary thing as well, particularly if you're a kind of big brand. If you're Burger King, then Twitter's horrible today because you've got horses in your burgers and everybody's running away, probably making jokes about Burger King and Sugar King, I guess. Because you can't control that. You can't shut that down. It's just happening. So it's scary for brands. Social media is really scary for brands. Not so much for individual teachers, unless they tweet something clearly inappropriate. Can't be controlled. It's there. It's a rezone. I argue that the last blog post that I wrote, I argued that Twitter is not professional development. And I deliberately set out to write that blog post, and even though I don't 100% believe it myself, I made the points I made it early on in the presentation that how can something so trivial as Twitter count as CPD? And if teachers count Twitter as CPD, what message does that give to the rest of the world, to the parents, to the wider public, and to the politicians? So what they would ask, your professionals educating our children, and your main form of CPD is talking about bacon rolls. Now, clearly, I am obviously playing devil's advocate there. I am exaggerating. I'm putting the other side. However, I think there is potentially a danger of that. Because some people tweet that Twitter is the best CPD they ever had. And I say in the blog post, the other CPD you must have had must have been really bad, and you really have to think about what you're doing. Because I argue that really great CPD has to be sustained, so you have to do it over a period of time. It has to obviously be kind of difficult. In other words, you're grappling with things. If you take Iris Connect and teachers sharing videos of their practice and exploring it, that for me is real CPD, because it's going to be difficult. I'm going to video my session, and then I'm going to share it with other teachers, and they're going to tag the content. We're going to try and figure out what happens, and we're going to spend a lot of time figuring it out. We're going to put in the hard work to figure out how we want to improve our teaching practice. Twitter can't possibly be that. Although we might refine our results back and then tweet about it. I think teachers blogging is hugely important. There are some great teacher blogs out there, some fantastic ones, and they're doing all sorts of things. People talking about their practice, people arguing about teaching politically. A favourite of mine is some of the anonymous teacher blogs out there, where teachers are talking about the school operation and they're actually anonymising it, but there's very powerful stories. So blogging is the kind of content that feeds into Twitter to allow this exchange of information. And again, it's absolutely by writing things down and arguing them that you get to where you go, which is why I also blog as well as tweet, because I can put out my views and then see what they came back. I won't classify it as hate mail, but when I posted the post about Twitter's not professional development, a couple of people DM'd me with, "How dare you say that?" Some people I didn't really know, only on Twitter, said, "How dare you say that?" Because it's like I was spoiling their party. And I was very polite back. I don't get involved in kind of flame stuff online. I actually said, "Well, you know, I might just be wrong." In other words, I've gone on and said Twitter's not CPD. You believe that it's the best CPD you ever had. We just disagree. But clearly, people do feel very passionately about these things. That's testament to the power of those kind of platforms. But I would say, if teachers as a profession, both in this country and also internationally, obviously with BET being international, if they're going to continue to demonstrate their expertise, and the problem with teaching is, the better you do teaching, the easier it looks. Groups, doesn't that look easy? So you just give the kids some tasks and you sit at the back? They're making it look easy. Now, what you don't see is how you've got to that task, all of the work that the teacher's done to design that, the interventions they'll make, what they'll do afterwards. It doesn't look anything like as complicated as it is. So there is an issue with teaching, both in this country and probably in every context in the world, that the great teachers make it look easy, so people think, well, anybody can do that. Michael Gove thinks that anybody can be a teacher, because if you work in an academy now, you don't need to be a qualified teacher. So he clearly thinks that anybody can do it, because he's made that into a policy. So he doesn't think you need a particular band of expertise or you need to be trained. If teachers are going to make their skills visible, which they need in order to retain the position that they have in society and the respect to make sure that education is valued and the right kinds of education are done, then it's kind of activities like blogging and writing that are going to be incredibly important. So that's why I would say Twitter definitely is a great way of sharing content that's already been created and out there. So, Twitter is Matt Pearson. And the blog is just mattpearson.org, and I've redesigned the blog, so all the archive postings are there. There's about 3 or 4 postings. I mean, there is one posting from about a year ago saying Twitter is brilliant professional development, and now I'm saying Twitter's not professional development. So I can't make my mind up, but that's how it goes. So by all means, check the blog out, check my tweets out, and you'll be able to see what I've had for breakfast. So thanks so much. I didn't want to speak for too long because I wanted to just see if there was any questions or comments or people want to challenge stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, too many people on social media don't get the discourse thing. So if people are challenged, they think that their view is their view and it's never going to change. It's immutable.
Yes.
And where it needs to move on, I think, in many ways, especially with chats online and stuff, is for people to have a bit of a discourse, a bit of an argy-bargy, come to a
rapprochement,
yeah. I think it's a healthy state. Yeah. Just living in an echo chamber isn't very good.
Yeah. I totally disagree with that. No, I do agree with that. Yes, that's right. Sometimes you can get into a club in Twitter because you can follow all the people who kind of agree with you, and then they can be all your mates. So you tweet something and everybody goes, yeah, and they will retweet it. And I think what you're probably saying, Leon, is, yeah, you've got to probably move outside that and go into something that's more where there is a bit of argument, and then you do move around. Because people do get tribal on Twitter. People, like, they don't have an argument. They actually kind of have a clash of heads, and then they fall out and either block each other or they just go away. There's a blog post up there that says, arguing on Twitter is like jousting with bendy straws. So you might want to read my thoughts about what it's like to have an argument on Twitter. And that's probably where we probably need to move to other platforms maybe for that. Because I don't know about you, but I think the things like the organised chats, the quasi-organised chats on Twitter, they do have some value, but they can never claim to go beyond the superficial because people are just making the same point again. And if you really get involved, if somebody puts something that's challenging, you immediately over your 140 characters, aren't you? You can't say, well, I really like that idea, but I think it's this and that, because you're out of, that's it, you've gone. And because the chat's moving quickly, you can't even break your tweet up. That's cheating anyway, to go 1, 2, 3. But even if you do that, it gets lost.
And it's hard for people to, I mean, it is the people at the other end, it's not the tool. But it's hard for people who maybe are coming new to it to be able to cut and paste
yeah.
stuff that they're actually, what people are doing are browsing.
Yeah.
Dual and then, browsing and cutting and pasting bits for information or for assets or for stuff like that. For neophyte Twitterers, neophyte tweets, it's really hard to multitask like that.
So it must be absolutely daunting. Yeah.
And it's gone in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's gone back into the ether. Right, so, well, thanks very much for coming along. Do stay, and if your phones are flat, I'll give you two tips about this room. First of all, they've got coffee
and biscuits,
and they've also got some phone chargers as well. So if your battery's getting a bit low on your phone, do stay. Do have a chat with the Iris guys because they've got a fantastic CPD system. I mentioned it. I don't have any alliance with Iris other than I'm friends with a lot of them. So it's definitely worth talking to them about their system. They'll be able to give you a quick talk through. And the sound system I'm using, that's Roger from Lightspeed. So if you want to chat about classroom audio, because this is lovely talking in here. I've been in another room working for the last 3 days that's been quite noisy. And although I've not been down the show floor where you lose your voice after about 2 hours because you're shouting, so Roger can chat to you about how teachers can get the most benefit from this.
So, just turn around and speak to us. Just turn the other way and speak to us.
And speak like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're saying. You know, it makes such a difference.
It makes a difference, yeah. Brilliant. Thank you very much.